The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Stage left, the bard of broadcasting, the godfather of internet radio, the most fascinating man on the internet, the third man, the vegetable man, me! My name is Frank Attola, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. The show continues in this November. As we head toward, we're going on our way to Y2K plus 17. Stay with us. 2 hours of It's Just Skull-crushing entertainment and a lot of learning. From Ice Cap to Ice Cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello, and into every bordello. Tis I. I am here, and I am live, and I am lifelike to those listening on stations other than SRN Media Works. So for me, and for you, it is actually now. Now is the moment. Now is the time. You are here with me, Frank Attola. This is Cthulhu Chronicles, and I welcome you all to listening. I remind you to wake up, it's night, and to get yourself a beverage, replenish your precious bodily fluids throughout. Because if you learn anything, as I have told you, through the years, and there have been years, through the years, dehydration is the enemy. And you don't want to dehydrate, so we start off with a health tip, which we always do, because you know what, without your help, what the hell good is any of this? I mean, it's bad enough. We have to fight. I have to fight. Battle. I have to claw my way through any number of reasons to do this. And then there's you and I. And once we're together, I'm fine. But what I'm saying is, what is it? If you're dehydrated and I'm dehydrated, what's the difference? There is no difference. And I want you to understand that there's no difference anyway. There is no, let me just tell you this, before we go into a relatively controversial subject in pop culture. Okay? I'm not gonna get into anything that's really hot and bothered in the news or anything. I never do. Once in a while I do something, but you know, we laugh at that. Don't we? We do. Sometimes the guests don't. They never come back. But that's life, because this is life. And what we're going to talk about is relatively controversial in pop culture, okay? But it's not necessary. It's really not necessary to go into this. Here on this show, we have never taken one stand or another. Well, once in a while, we scream at things, and gosh knows, anyone say God? God, no, that's old time radio. Yes, don't say God. Yeah, believe it or not, they used to do that. Don't you dare say God. Forget about using a name or, because that's what they said back in the biblical days too, when they didn't have a name for him, you know. saw that part of that movie there, that Noah movie with Russell Crowe playing Noah, and they call God the Creator in English. Anyway, so what we do here, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your pets and your family's pets and your family's friends that anybody can come here. Although we do put that parental guidance. I'll tell you why we did that. We didn't always do that. We've been on for many years, 20 years, 30 years, 40, I don't know. We've been on as long as there's been a high-speed connection to the internet, and people were able to get us. And the first bunch of people who ever tried to get us didn't even know we were here and had no idea what was going on. It was really a Wild West show in the beginning of fast speed, high speed. Was it high speed? Fast speed internet. When the modem stopped from whatever. And they went right to fast speed. It was a Wild West show. Because everybody was getting on doing things. And then we, of course, I was part of the first bunch of people who came on to do internet radio, which, you know, and we use the term radio and it's not radio. And then I don't know what the heck. It's broadcasting. That's it. It's internet broadcasting and in alternative broadcasting. Let's just call it alternative broadcasting because it has, you know, you pick it up and it doesn't have, states or federal governments or state governments or anybody controlling what we say or what we do. And we're global. This was the beginning of globalization. A lot of people don't like that, but I don't care. And we've done shows about not caring. This is a show that we do that has no stress whatsoever. Once in a while, I get a little crazy. And that's just zen-like. It's what I do and stuff. I just, you know, but it's not, this is not a stressful show. I never wanted to get on here, although we did, we had some controversy in the beginning of High Speed. You see, it was a Wild West show. We could get on and we were screaming about things. We were taking sides, politically. Well, you know, in terms of what goes on in this internet or what was gonna go on. We talked about all the stuff that was gonna go on. Gonna go on, gonna go on, gonna go on. Doesn't that sound like something else? You know what I bought today? What? I bought a gonna go on. A gonna go on? Wow, I didn't know they sold those in the United States. Gonna go on. Get yourself a gonna go on. Could be an animal too. What's that little thing crawling over there in this documentary? It's a gonna go on. A gonna go on? It's a gonna go on. They've been around for a long time, but not a lot of people know them. Never see them in zoos. There's not a menagerie of gonna go ons in a cage. You don't have the cage you're gonna go on. So, this has had incarnations and had an evolution, just like everything else. It's moved along. And yet here I am, sitting in the same room. Perhaps some of the furniture's been moved around. It's almost the same equipment, except we've had to upgrade and we've crashed a number of times through the years. And only recently, 2016 has not been a really terrific year for the technical side of the show. But remember, I don't do broadcasting. I do. Of course, it's digital. And of course, now you can pick it up on your phone and various other places. You can listen to us on other stations than this. No, I mean, the station I'm on now, if you're listening after it's live, when it's only live, lifelike in your mind, like, and you want to find out those stations, if they even still exist, I know some of them do, because things come and go, you get over to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com, and there you can find the list of stations on the bottom. Okay, so let's go back to this Wild West show. See? And when we got into the Wild West show, because no, people go crazy when they're first given certain freedoms. This is just human nature, I imagine. So you tell someone, you know what? From now on, it's no longer illegal. I got to think of something like, it's no longer illegal to think of something that's not like, unsafe. Cause even though I could do anything and say anything, I sure as heck don't want to get anybody. I don't want to get into that where I say like, well, you know, told me to do that, Frank. I'm trying to think of something that's, you know, it's now legal to, let's say it's now legal to deliver mail yourself. Because in countries, you know, did you know that it's not legal if you have to mail something to someone down the block, down the road, around the corner, or somewhere, you can literally walk to their house and give them something. You cannot, what's cannot? It is illegal. And I guess illegal means you could either get a fine or arrested. I don't know anybody ever got arrested for this. You can't go and give that mail, deliver that mail yourself to their mailbox. You could ring the bell if they have a bell, knock on the door if they have a door, and say, I have this for you, my friend. But then again, if you're going to do that, why don't you just tell them? Well, maybe it's a document. So you have a document. But it's illegal to put it in their mailbox as if it's posted mail, like the mail department, mail, whatever it is in whatever country you might be located. And I can't say this for every country that's listening to us. I don't know about Sweden or Denmark or Africa, which is not a country. It's a continent, but there's a lot of countries inside of it. So I don't know. But let's just say, like in Canada and America, and I think probably in Great Britain, you can't do that. It's illegal. Now, one day somebody comes up and says, you know, it's no longer illegal to put mail into someone's box. Now, and remember, this of course probably, you know why this has to do with, it has to do with the fact that, you could put mail in anybody's box. That's like illegal. That's why it doesn't, I use the example of somebody you know. To show how ridiculous it might be. But then again, it has a side that's not so ridiculous. And that side says that you just bring a piece of mail to somebody you don't know. Stick it in a mailbox. That's illegal. Let's say one day it's no longer illegal. The human nature says, wow, I can now do something that was illegal and I could do it freely. Now, the first reaction to that human nature says, I'm gonna have so much fun. I'm gonna do it all the time. I'm gonna do it any possible way. Why? Because I am able to do it. I will not get reprimanded physically. I don't think they've hanged anyone for this. Physically or mentally or financially. I can now take this piece of mail. Let's make believe I have a piece of mail. Give me a piece of paper. Give me a piece of paper. I've talked to myself here. I take this piece of mail and I could go bring it and put it into that person's mailbox down the road. And in this mail, it says, dear person down the road who I don't know, stop driving over my lawn. There you go, right? Let's say that. So you don't have to confront them. Hear that? That's a piece of thin mail. That's thin mail. Thin mail. Real thin mail. So that's human nature. So in the beginning of the internet, fast speed broadcasting thing, people went crazy. They did everything. And they were doing it randomly. And when we started this show, we were doing it randomly. But, you know, we didn't see this. We didn't go to ourselves, hey, there's a platform for us to philosophize. There's a platform for us to use to right the wrongs of people around the world and make sure guerrillas are not shot and killed and tusks from elephants. We didn't do any of that stuff. We did some stuff that related to the internet and how corporations and companies and, you know, who worried in the internet. It was a big schism at that time, as opposed to a little schism. Which would be a schismette, right? A little schism is a schismette. A big schism. A schism is just big. See, through the years, I have steered clear of this, and that's what kept this show, I don't want to say honest, but it's really kept this show I don't know. I can't categorize it. That's the whole deal. And whenever I, in the beginning of podcasts, they had to, cause you know, the genre thing is very big on the internet. It always has been. Everything has to be categorized. Most of it should be quarterized, but it's categorized. And I say, I never have a place for the show. I just basically talk. I just say talk. And we do have guests sometimes. I just say talk. I don't say, you know, what is it? And then, you know, they take talk. They take each category and they split that into other categories. Political talk, sports talk, health talk, what? Spiritual talk. We just talk. I guess it fit into pop culture. So I never knew where to put this. There's not categories. And I thought that was the saving grace of the show. Because nobody, first of all, I came on first and nobody else did this. Everybody else played music. It's number one. Number two. And why I'm writing another resume is beyond me. I shouldn't do this. I just want to say to you that we're here going to do something that has to do with pop culture. And it's rather controversial because once again, it has to do with my generation. Now you're saying, well, you said you don't have, I didn't say you don't have opinions. I just don't go crazy for opinions. I don't think they're worth anything. Just like yours are worthless. Oh, that game, oh, that got a whole bunch of people. You know, I have worked with people in brick and mortar radio, actual radio, who did things that got people all riled up because of their opinions and said things to people and got all excited because everybody takes everything personally. We don't do that here and never did that here. So when I give an opinion, it's just an opinion. It's my opinion. It ain't that important, is it? You don't have to yell and scream about it. It's like on Facebook, which I go to Facebook less and less and less because there's just nothing. I don't want to comment on some of the things that people have to say and they express with GIFs and JPEGs and with links to places. But I understand that these people never did that. I always did it. So obviously it turns out to be boring to me. And I get this theater every week that I wanted at this particular time. And, you know, I've been offered to do this kind of thing 5 nights a week. But why? Because I don't want my life revolved around this. So what I'm saying is this. Here we go. So I'm going to talk about something. If you get all upset about it, because I know there are people who have gotten very upset about things I've said about my own generation. See, and we're going to talk about it. If you went to, on my Facebook page, Frank Cotolo, because I don't use a fake name or anything. And we always put the, you know, what's going to happen and we link it to the blogspot.com. You could go over there and over there, you get a little bit of what is going to be, what it's going to be like. So, I'm going to talk about the death of rock and roll. And I know this has been talked about before, and I know it to some people means something or doesn't mean something, but it is specifically, on the forefront of news. It's in the headlines for pop culture this year because, of that big desert. The desert concert they had out there. You should see me, and you don't want to see me, but I mean, this is radio, but you know, or it's broadcasting. I'm pointing as if, I mean, I gesticulate even talking on this in here, you know? Okay. So, the name of the game is we're going to talk about that, and I'm going to comment on a number of people who talk about that and agree for any which what reason that rock and roll itself is dead, which means that all that exists, here's what it means. It means all that exists is what used to be and what was done. Anything done now is a waste because it's all been done. It's dead. It means you shouldn't do it anymore. It's like when Cary Grant was alive, he could make movies, good or bad, until his dying day. Let's use James Cagney because he quit and then came back and did one movie and he was older than the hills. And so he did that, but the point is then he died, so he couldn't ever come back. It's over for the James Cagney movies, and I have been saying all along it should be over for these rock and roll acts who still going out there at 70, going on to 80, and they're doing this stuff. Okay, so, but there was that big thing in the desert with all those big acts. You know, it's a hard word to say. I'm an act. All those big acts. But when you put the S on it, you say acts, like AX, right? You go, I'm an act. You could say it perfectly. There are acts. And then you gotta stop and put the S in. There are act. I'm an act. Singular, it's easy. There was an act. There were many acts. Because if you want to get the T in there, you have to stop and then add the S. And it sounds like you're Akatus. It sounds like you're saying something in some weird language, which is what a lot of this sounds like. As I think, as I talk, as I speak, and as we go along, we're going to hear a lot about this. And if you have anything to say, you could always comment. How? fcatolo@yahoo.com. Yeah, yeah, that's it. I'm giving you an email where you can get, and people do that. They get in touch with me. I'm on Skype, but there's been, I don't know if anybody wants to call Skype, but my name is Frank Tolo and I'm there too. But I mean, you want to call me and be on the air, it could happen. You could just say something. You could say whatever you want to say. You can yell at me. I don't give a hoot. Just be careful because there is this weird link going around. You know, this is also a news source. Cthulhu Chronicles. When something comes up, you know, we talk about it. We warn you about it. There is this weird link. I think somebody has hacked mostly all of Skype and is going on to certain people's accounts and putting this weird, I'll tell you what it says. And what's funny about it is that I think it's personalized. Let me tell you about this first, and then we'll go into, then we'll start looking at what these people have to say about rock and roll. If I could find somebody, Tom Savino, our good friend Tom Savino, who will be on again, Savino Veritas, coming back shortly. That's a long summer you got there, Tom. And then, of course, I'm coming back, and he's coming back with me, and we're going to go talk about our old show, and we're going to, okay. But the point is here, I'm going to tell you what this says. It's, just be careful if you suddenly see nothing but a link that comes as a chat part of your Skype account. Now this, excuse me, this is personalized at the end, but it's got http://, of course, it's got the www. And then it says baidu.com/link, URL equals Y014. Okay, it's got a whole bunch of numbers, TY7, and then it goes equals your name. And that would be the name of your account specifically. I know that because I've gotten it from more than one person. And is it the same? Oh gosh, it's not the same. This is really dangerous. I've gotten it twice from different people and it's different. Oh boy. So I think you've been hacked. I don't know if these people who have these links on them have been hacked and can't use it, but there's Tom Savino. He's not online. Otherwise I'd ask him. But in any event, in all events, and certainly this event, that's the name of the game. We're on Skype. We're on, I'm everywhere except for God's sakes, what's going on with Tumblr? What is that all about? They keep, it's time to change your password. You go to change your password and it goes not long enough. Who knows about this? Has anybody talked about this? It says not long enough. What do you mean not long enough? So I make it longer and it goes, sorry, not long enough. And it keeps doing that. There's no way to change my password. So I'm locked out. I've been hacked. I've been cut off. And so that's nothing on Tumblr anymore. I think Cthulhu or no, you can go there. Cthulhu.tumblr.whatever. Okay. And there's stuff there, but there ain't nothing new. And ain't going to be nothing new because I can't even get into the thing. And I'm weird and wicked and stupid. A lot of weird, wicked, stupid things happen on this, the internet. And certainly on this Cthulhu Chronicles. My name is Frank Cthulhu, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. I am the bard of broadcasting. When I say broadcasting, by the way, I don't just mean alternative broadcasting and internet and interweb and this ISP, all this stuff. I don't just mean that. I mean of all broadcasting. And so you want to take that? Take it up with any of these people who say they're broadcasters, who make $90 million a year, $40 million a year, or whatever it is they do, because they're just, that they should kneel at my feet. Man, they'll never be as wonderful as Frank Cthulhu on the air. So there. All right. I don't need a thing. I don't need a thing. And I don't need a thing. I can sit here and talk. You know, I once did all by my, I'm not going to even give you my resume. I'm going to tell you this much. I got books. Okay. I'm going to sell some books right now. Then we're going to go talk about the first person who said the death of rock and roll, Roger Daltrey of The Who. And I'll have my comments about them too, but you know, what the heck. I don't hold anybody in esteem. Esteem is not what I use. I mean, even the people I really admire, the people who've influenced me doing anything that I do, and I do a lot of things throughout the years, not in esteem. Let me tell you about the books. And I'll tell, here's what I'm going to tell you about the books. Is, you know, we had, on fourculture.com, I post every once in a while, a story, an article, I don't, whatever you want to call it, something I wrote. Let's just say something I wrote in the words section. I used to be in the full magazine, but the full magazine is now just the internet page. And so I'm still there, and I've been there since the beginning of that. And I really give them my best. And I still give them my best. And recently, if not last month or whatever, the most recent, I put up a new piece from this series I do of a detective, this funny detective series called Turk Bahrain. That's the name of the, he's the detective. He's the private eye that everyone knows as someone else. And you start, read it and you'll find out. But on there, of course, I was at the end of it, I said, hey, this is a brand new Turk Bahrain adventure. For the original Turk Bahrain adventures, you go to lulu.com and you can buy it as a digital book or as a hardcover book and read it. Have fun, you know? That's at lulu.com where there are three books. I'm holding one of the books in my hand. I don't read my own books a lot. I just keep writing them and doing stuff. I rarely go back and read anything. Even stuff I write for other people, I rarely do, but I was laughing today at something because I found, I don't have a lot of hard copies of these Lulu books, but I have given them out to people as gifts and, you know, yeah, that's right. So I give them, yes, I had some of them myself and I gave them to special people. And I have one of the three. It's called Skull and Roses. And then it has Frank Catola's name underneath. Skull and Roses. This is just a series of, essays and little stories, not even stories. They're little essays. Okay. And, I open it up and you could do that with these books. You could just open them up to any page and start reading. And I think you'll laugh. Now to sell this book, I'm going to read you a piece of one of the pieces, a piece of one of the piece. I'm going to read you some of one piece that's in this. And let me tell you something about Let me tell you something about Skull and Roses. I think it says it right here, doesn't it? There's an introduction. Does it have a table of contents? No. This is great. It just doesn't even have a table of contents. You just read it and just go. Just get going. Okay. So I open it up. I'm going to do that, but I'm going to read you a piece of this. And then you say, geez, don't I like to read the rest of that and other stories? You just go to lulu.com, put in my name, Frank Catolo, and order your book. I don't know if you have to have an account. Order it. I guess, you know, you do anything. You could buy anything anyway. If you have a PayPal account, use that. You got a card. Credit card, debit card. You know, credit card can be also a debit card, but there are just credit cards. You know that. I'm not here to tell you about that stuff. You go read that somewhere else. Go somewhere else and read that. This is an essay called Calm. Calm. Okay? Excuse me. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. Just a little bit. And you'll realize that you want this book, Skull and Roses. This is one of the lesser of the three that are on there. Turk Bahrain, as I mentioned, The Return of Turk Bahrain is one of the bestsellers. Then there's Moon Over Gorgon, which is my favorite. But now I'm starting to think that maybe Skull and Roses is another. Maybe I should do another version of this. Maybe I do a lot of things, you know. Okay. Calm. From Skull and Roses by Frank Catolo. Here's Frank Catolo reading Calm. When you're busy talking or using a hand drill, you cannot hear what others are saying. In the same way, when your mind is consumed with thinking, doing the new math or analyzing a body part, you cannot learn what life has to tell you. The ability to think is a useful, powerful, and beautiful thing. Yet, like all powerful things, thoughts are best when used in moderation or when they do not include images of decaying fruit. Even a rocket scientist stops, clears his mind, and makes note that animals do not crossbreed. Still, chances are you have too many thoughts. And it doesn't even matter if those thoughts are good or bad. In fact, recent studies show that most of thoughts coming from most people are useless. The only exception to this are the thoughts coming from descendants of various indigenous people who meld 10th through 7th century BC with the Yartians and the Aratians. But let's not get into that. If you become too consumed with your own thoughts, try using other people's thoughts. You can easily obtain other people's thoughts for, I hear, only a penny. I left room for laughter. That was me. It's not in the, that's not on the essay. So you see already, this is gonna float, and it's already funny, right? And it's good, and you'll want to read the rest of it. The end of this, this only goes on for two pages. But let me tell you, look at this, a brief history of Dada in Dadaese. So, there's that. There's this thing called Some Doctors Don't Tell It All, Study Says. So there's an article about a study. There's Cold Hard Facts About Fossils and Flies. Huh? Okay. There's a lot of these. Friendship Teachings. All about National Friendship Week, okay? These are brief, and it's all in the genes, the name of another one. It's all in the genes, about DNA. Laws of Men. This book, I think, is the only one of all the books I wrote that I would say has a parental guidance, because there are some, this is one of the only places I've used bad, you know, little dirty thoughts and stuff. But there's not a lot of them. We have Mind Scramblers. You like to play Mind Scramblers? It's all in Skull and Roses by Frank Cotolo. Everybody, Notes on Some Things. Okay, this is random. I write down the things and I have notes. I make notes. I'm always writing notes on some things. Let me give you a couple of notes on some things here on Cotolo Chronicles while I'm doing the book selling. Then we're going to go into The Death of Rock and Roll. Stand by. Hey, it's a long show, and it'll go very fast. Just stay with us. There are more bacteria in your mouth than there are people in the world. But most of the world's germs are concentrated in a rush hour on a Tokyo subway. I wonder what my Japanese fan club is saying about that. the Yokohama group. Long before any of those other things were going on, forget it. How about this? No man is an island, but Orson Welles came close. How about this? From the age of 30, humans gradually begin to shrink, with the exception of Chinese laundry operators. How about this one? If you play tic-tac-toe with yourself, you always either win or lose. There's more. Okay, a couple more maybe? Okay. I felt badly when Old Dirty Bastard died. Remember the rap singer? Okay. I felt badly when Old Dirty Bastard died, but I was devastated at the passing of ancient Philly bumfucker, aging dirtbag bitch, and elderly stench bucket dickhead. So you get it? And it's got, so there is some of that. And words and stuff in there. So be careful, parents. Okay. And stuff, but not a lot. There's not a lot of that stuff. I don't go for the F bombs and the things. I use them tastefully. And you use those things tastefully. It's called Skull and Roses. by Frank Cotullo. He'd be here to tell you about it if he could, but he's not. Here it is on Lulu.com while there's still a Lulu.com. You know, there's all, there's, I heard Vine. Vines are no longer, right? That Vine, the whole Vine, platform is gone. Nobody does Vines anymore. I guess that was because of Instagram. I think it was probably because of Snapchat, right? Maybe. I don't know. I don't, that's also, see, we do that too because we were around before all those things and we told you about them when they happened. You wouldn't know. Here's where you heard about Twitter first. By the way, that reminds me because we're going to get Kurt Brando, the man, the first man to come on internet broadcasting and tell anyone that Twitter is a good place you should go and, but not for the reasons it turned out, Twitter, but we told you about that Twitter, Kurt Brando, who I believe is, where is he now? Is he in Vietnam? Wherever he is teaching or telling, or publishing news or whatever, he's going to be on this show. I wonder if he's, no, God, it would be really late, wouldn't it? Let me look at my Skype for a second. Is Kurt Brando online right now? No. No, he's not online. Kurt Brando's not online right now. I don't know what time it might be wherever the heck he lives right now. But in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, this is Cotullo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotullo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. That's just Lulu. Maybe later if I get time, I'll tell you. Well, you could go to Amazon or, you know, you could just put Frank Cotullo books in a Google or a Bing or an Ask Why or whatever. And you will find my books because that's what they do with, search engines. So you can do that. And we're old school today. So we're not going to take any breaks. We've got a little bit less than an hour and a half left to talk about this, but I have to find these particular pieces that I'm looking to find. How do I do that? I do that by, what would I say? Oh, I said it was on, yes, let me kill this one particular browser I have up and move along to the one that has my mail. Where's my mail? I get this, boy, has Outlook changed or what? Holy Christmas. I had to get my new Outlook because I got my new hard drive and everything, and this is it's unbelievable. The things they have, I'm not going to use filter email, unread, read, follow up rules, create new, team, eat, more, I am meeting you, reply all. Unbelievable how much stuff. Let me go to my Cronies articles and go to my first one, which is Roger Daltrey. I hit that link and by golly, something's going to come up. Isn't it? Yes. I hope it's my Firefox. Is that what I call it? Firefox? Foxfire? Isn't it? Yeah, that's my, where am I? Am I still on here? Yeah, my stream time. I'm still working. Everything's still working. Roger Daltrey thinks rock has reached a dead end and rap is the future. Picture of Roger Daltrey, who is, you know, of all the people, I've said this before, although he, something happened, but of all the rock people who were aging into their, when they were 50s, 60s, now they're in the 70s, right? Roger Daltrey did not age the way the other ones were aging. And then one day he woke up and he looked old. I don't know how that happened. I don't know what he was doing with himself or what cosmological thing. I don't know what was going on that made that happen. But, woo, man. And he's looking okay. He has a good head of hair as I do, although he's way older. Wow, he's almost, wow, okay. What is he, 74? We'll find out soon enough. But this comes from, where does this come from? Yahoo News or somewhere? It comes from somewhere, I'm going to make that. And I don't know who, but they don't give credit to these. I mean, let me go to the main article. It says read more. That's where the full article exists. Oh, it comes from Vulture. Does anybody know Vulture? Or does everybody know Vulture? Vulture, TVs, music, and movies. Here we go. I'm going to read this and we're going to talk about this because I have been, and here's why. I've been saying this for longer than I think most of these people have been saying this. They're in it. They have a history in the music industry, not just as a performer, mostly not as a performer, but I have, you know, and so I can truly say that, and I, you know, I was, okay, all right, we're not going to do the resume thing. My name is Frank Cotolo. It's me, Frank Cotolo. Anyway, now this makes headlines probably because Daughtry showed up with Pete Townshend, the other, what was it, surviving member of the group The Who. They were at that big concert with the Rolling Stones, Paul McCartney, Bob Dylan, Neil Young, I don't know, whoever else. So people paid $1,000 to see two nights, 3 days, I don't know, whatever, you know. Here's what he says. Oh, here's what, it's Devin Ivey. Oh, birds eat oats and bears eat oats. And then there's Devin Ivey. Skiddledy-divey-doo. Here's his, you know, okay. I didn't just make that up. It's an old song, but it's not Devin Ivey. But I think that's how you say his name. Follow at, okay, here. Follow. Everybody's got their Twitter thing right near their name, byline, or whatever they do on the interweb, whenever on a page. Devin says relax. Follow Devin's at Devin says relax. But here's the article from late October. Long live rock, be it dead or alive, because The Who's Roger Daltrey has just eulogized the genre in a way that will surely make the hearts of boomers ache and break. Okay, Devin, you know, when it comes from Roger Daltrey, fine. But I'm not going to get into that thing, the fact that, you know, what you hear here, what you hear on this show, you're going to hear other places later on, okay, and you will originally have heard it here. So that's okay, fine. I don't get royalties on that anyway, so it doesn't matter. But now it's gotten attention because Roger Daltrey, let's face it, he has a higher profile among the pop culture than have I. It says it's going to make the hearts of boomers ache and break. Now, I bring that up only because I've made the boomers ache and break, with my opinion, and my case that I bring to the jury of public opinion. But here, what happened was, I only saw him once, but that's a whole nother story. Let's not go into those particular things. I don't have selfies with him because they didn't have selfies in those times. And I didn't really care to have a picture. Okay, move on. Roger did an interview with the Sunday Times. That's the London newspaper. But there's the London Times and the Sunday Times. I think the Sunday Times is the Sunday edition of the London Times. I wonder in England if if newspapers are coming out less like they are here. We'll have to look into that anyway. Okay. In this interview, Daltrey lamented that good old-fashioned rock and roll is simply dead and incapable of any more evolution. Think on that for a second. And take notes if you'd like in your Cotolo Chronicles notebook, which you get by just finding one of those old composition books, which are new. Get a new one. Don't get an old one. You can get an old one if it's got pages in it, whatever. And use that and write down things you want to look up later about topics or names or places, nouns, people, places, and things that you've heard on the show. Any nouns you can look up later. I'm just going to go through with it. So Daltrey says, and here is a quote, "The sadness for me is that rock has reached a dead end. The only people saying things that matter are the rappers, and most pop is meaningless and forgettable." Now, he says pop. He uses the word pop there. Let's go on and see what he says in comment on it, because we're talking rock and roll is dead. Pop is, I don't know if that's different. Hey, look, it's not even that long, but we're going to go to other people. Okay. He also believes that the showmanship of modern musicians no longer makes a formidable impression as it has in the past. It's, forget about the English. We're reading from a journalist. And Devin, I'm sorry, but it's, you might have screwed up on some of the grammar. So here's what he's saying. Quote, you watch these people and you can't remember a bloody thing. Unquote. If it's any consolation, though, the Rolling Stones will probably be touring until they're 175 years old, and the Who made the perfect ode to rock back in the 70s that you can drown your sorrows to. What was that? That doesn't say. Back in the 70s, and then there's a link somewhere else. That's not what we would, maybe it is. Should we go there? No, forget it. That's it? Hello? Wow. That's it? There are comments. You know these comments? Oh, someone wrote here. There's one comment. No, there's 17 comments. Let's look at these comments. How do you do? Rock will never die, said somebody. How do you find the rest of them? Show more? Maybe it's show more. Oh, sign into comments. I'm not sign. Oh, here's another one. J. Jerry. Rock isn't dead. No genre ever dies. There's a little editorial voice. Okay. What has died is the way music used to be marketed to the masses. Everything's niche now, but people have a tendency to listen to 5 minutes of radio or watch 10 minutes of the MTV Music Awards or look to a couple of viral videos. See, people are dying to tell their opinions. They always have been, and the internet has always made that so possible. And yet, who is J. Jerry? Does he say it? Who's J. Jerry? These opinions are so important to people, they will not account for them by giving their real names. And this guy just rants on, rants and rants. Rants a word that nobody used to use anyway when it came to, no one did. Now they do. The stuff you grew up on is no longer inundating the airwaves or whatever. And anything new sounds like noise to you, just like your music sounded like noise to your parents and grandparents. This guy's right. Hey, I'm making fun of how he's talking. He's right. Contemporary music is one of the few subjects that can make a 30-something sound like a get-off-my-lawn grandpa. Ooh. He's got some... J. Jerry, whoever you are, you got some... Here's a D. Bajorgo. Rap is the future. Don't they realize rap is nearly 40 years old? And there's somebody telling you right there. Here's a mystery. Rap is 40 years old. So then Harb, this is the guy who wrote this, a girl, Harb, H-Y-R-B. So who's listening to classic rap? And, you know, people can be funny, humorous, I mean, at times. Here's Bruce Sereno. This guy actually knows his real, if that's his real name, Bruce Sereno. Queens of the Stone Age, The Sword, Jack White, Dead Weather and Rock on Tours, Royal Blood, Arctic Monkeys, Clutch, Spoon, Foo Fighters, The Killers, Cage the Elephant, Muse, The Black Keys, The Hives, Kings of Leon, The Strokes, Weezer, Beck, Car Seat. Come on, Roger. Ah, he gave Roger a little bit. You know, I got news for Bruce and the rest of you guys. Roger didn't read this. Roger doesn't give a hoot. He didn't even know it's here. He talked to the London Times and then he left. He went home. He did whatever he had to do. He went on safari like he used to do on that TV show he did for a while. Did you ever see that? Roger Daltrey went on safari. I don't know what that was called. Daltrey in the jungle? I don't know. So here's another. Swim guy says this. In the 60s, songs had to have a guitar. In the 80s, it was a synthesizer. Today, it's a vocoder. It circles around. And while Adele may be today's Joni Mitchell, we haven't seen anything like the Beatles or the Stones or the Who lately. Maybe that's what he's saying. It's really a shame, in one sense, that I demean what they say by using these voices. I agree, if that's what you're thinking. That is, like, really ugly. And I'm sorry, but that just makes for good broadcasting. Brutally.honest. Brutally.honest. That's not his name. Hey, Brutally. Did they call him Brute? Hey, Brute. No. He never said, this is a what they call a thread, and people talk and they talk and then they talk back and then they answer this person and that person. This guy says he never said rap is the future. The only people saying things that matter are the rappers, is what he said. That doesn't mean it's the future. And he wrong. He forgot the is. And he wrong about that anyway. There is no meaning, no common or nothing. You know how grandma is. When people get, you know, when people get really emotional, they don't think about, they just write, they just type it. Like you don't know the sound of typing. So I do that. Like you don't have a keyboard. Well, yeah, when you do it on the phone, it sounds like this. Right? It doesn't have any typing at all. Although you could probably get an app that has a typing sound and you could sound like you're typing on an old typewriter on your keyboard of your phone. I would imagine that's possible. Rock only appears to be dead because the media doesn't cover it like it used to. You know, well, the point is everybody has an opinion. They all want you to read it. And so that's that. This goes on. How about Johnny O? Rap may be the future, but not the future of music. Rap is definitely not music. All capitals, not music. If rock and roll is dead, music is dead. So rap on wherever you are. It's like... Miss Bliss, maybe this is the first lady. I don't mean the first lady, the president's wife, but maybe this is the first lady to be in this. Something tells me you must be a white male. Then you see how this gets? Okay, so is rock and roll, first of all, what you have to do first is define rock and roll. I'm going to close this because, wow, this goes on forever. Okay, so these guys, I'm going to close this because there's going to be other people we're going to talk about. So we have to define rock and roll, and then we'll move on from there as we come to the end of the first hour. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. This is Cotolo Chronicles, the original Cotolo Chronicles. So I am the bard of broadcasting, the godfather of internet talk radio. I say talk radio. And I'm not going to tell you anything particularly timely because this show will be on a lot of other stations over the next whenever. So we have no reason to talk about things that might have happened when you hear this, if you're not listening to it live. But I will tell you to keep looking around the internet. I pop up on different shows. I pop up on various events. And I am also invited to be on panels and stuff. And I go now and then. Not always, but now and then. And a lot of this stuff is fascinating. I mean, you know, so I don't know why they invite me is another story because all I do is just make them sick and tired. Let's look for the next one. I'm going to do this one here. Bob Dylan explains what really killed rock and roll. I don't know how old this particular item has, how long ago this particular item was. Oh, I'll tell you what. April 13th. So it was last year. I mean, it was this year, but yeah, it was this year, but it's April. I figured, you know, if you want to hear, this is from we'll hear from Bob Dylan, okay, who's, you know, old out there and just got a prize for being a poet. And, you know, all good poets. Okay, I'm not going to. That's a whole other story if you want to go into poetry. That's it. It says here, like it is, Bob Dylan explains what really killed rock and roll. From Cue Point is the name of this website. The writer is Brentel Smith. All right. Writer's note, he says this. This is not an indictment or on any particular act or genre of music. He's got a caveat at the beginning. Music is the word, period. This is simply an attempt to shed light on an unnerving moment in music historicity. Historicity? What do you do? Make up a word? Historicity? Historicity? Ugh. And the devastating effects big money can have when attempting to hijack music's forever unfolding input feedback distortion is welcome discussion. Suppose it does distortion? I don't know. Last year, Bob Dylan gave only, that means in 2015, Bob Dylan gave only one interview about his recent album, Shadows in the Night, comprised of 10 pop ballads made famous by Frank Sinatra in the late 50s and early 60s. Was the sole interview with Rolling Stone or Vice? No, it appeared in the February-March 2015 issue of AARP. ARP! Of all things, right? I'm reading directly. ARP. is, of course, it means aged adults, rarely, I don't know, I forgot what American Association of Retired Persons, maybe that's it. I think that's it. I'm not a member because I'm not retired. I'm not a member at all. I don't want to be, I'm like Groucho Marx. I don't want to be a member of any club that would have me as a member. So it was in ARP. They begged this particular interview. And the guy who got the interview from Dylan, because Dylan was just, you know, he's a good promoter and a marketer of his stuff. He did it because he liked this guy. He used to be the editor, this guy who's now, you know, older. He used to be an editor of something Dylan knew or what have you. But I mean, he's a contemporary of Dylan. If you're a contemporary of Dylan, you're what, 74? You're in your 70s, going to mid-70s. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to go right into this and continue on this topic. Let me just say this at the top of the second hour or 5 minutes towards it. It doesn't matter. We don't have to be exact. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. You're listening to Cotolo Chronicles, which is live on SRN Media Works Thursday nights at 9 Eastern and appears and plays and broadcasts on any other station that wants it by just getting it, as you can also download it, play it, or what have you, at juicedtalk.com. That's where the archives exist. If our show doesn't record, our show doesn't show up there. It's lost forever. If it does, then you can get it. Or you can listen to it on many great stations like True Talk Radio twice a day. And weekdays, go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com and go to the bottom of that. And there's a list of stations. It will be updated shortly because other stations are picking it up. And I don't even know about it. And they don't have to tell me because there's no papers to sign or contracts to abide to in terms. There's no terms and there's no money changes hands. That's it. So here we go. Okay. So in ARP, his sole interview for 2015 about this. And I know people who have, Bob Dylan can do what he wants to do, and he has X amount of fans all the time, or a base, as they call it, a base. I don't know, plays base. I'm talking about a base of fans who will, you know, they're just Dylan people. And they do cover some age groups and generations. These people who go to his shows, which is why his live shows, when he's on the never-ending tour, it's called, these are constantly going and paying to hear him. And he doesn't do the same thing the same way twice. So it's kind of like that's a luring device, but it's also an artistic decision. So anyway, he came out with this particular album out, a CD, whatever. Okay. And, staring at Dylan's aged visage in aviators and a bolo tie, if he was still up to his old tricks, it was asked, trolling the press with salty wit. I'm trolling the press with salty wit. A bunch of bull at it's salty wit. Okay. From Q Point. I never heard of this web. There's so many websites, right? It turns out the editor in chief, Robert Love, as I told you, okay, used to work at Rolling Stone. Okay. I'm going to talk about Rolling Stone. We've done shows on that too. You know, I always have a different configuration here at the desk. I thought this was great having the boom to just, you know, over my shoulder so that I could talk and look at the screen for the read what I have to read. And what do? I hit into it anyway. So anyway, this guy, Robert Love, I don't know if that's his real name, doesn't work at Rolling Stone anymore, as he told Dylan's representatives. And thinking it was a case of cross wires, he was there for 20 years, Robert Love. And no, they said, there's no mistake. He wants to talk to the readers of ARP. You know, Bob Dylan's also, I told you, he's a good marketer. He knows his audience. And he knows that these people who are now this age, the ARP age, retired people, may be interested in hearing Bob Dylan, a contemporary of theirs, and maybe they like him or not or what have you, doing these old songs. They are old songs. Doing these songs that nobody does anymore, except some, and this is nothing new. You know, okay, because I think this started with Ringo Starr in the 70s. I think Eddie came out with an album called Sentimental Journey, and he did all these old songs. He didn't do one song that was new. I think he might be the first rock guy to do that. And he did that. And then, you know, through the years, what, Rod Stewart, who I can't believe was just made a knight. They just made him a knight. He's Sir Rod Stewart now. Hello? For what? Okay, see, there's some opinion sticks out here, but I'm firing up my contemporaries. Okay, so let's go back to Robert Love. So he wanted to talk. He's 74, Dylan, and given the fact that no one under the age of 50 could genuinely appreciate this new album, it all started to make sense to Robert Love. Robert Love picked up the issue and sat on top. Oh, this guy then. This guy wrote this. Picked up the issue and sat on top of a neglected magazine pile on my father's desk. On the cover were the words, Dylan Behind the Shades, his new album, and what he thinks about passion, aging, Sinatra, and why rock and roll died. Okay? So he's saying it last year. And of course, he's Dylan. Okay. So the reader of this, the writer of this particular article, not the ARP, this is an article about that interview. So this guy says, okay, I'll bite. I'll read your geriatric rag. He called it a geriatric rag, right? About how rock died according to Bob Dylan. After all, this man was a bona fide troubadour in his 20s, blah, blah. I love how he calls him the scrawny minstrel toad. People who write articles, well, that's all, these are all, I'm going to stick to this particular, I'm not going to run down a rabbit hole, unless I find Alice, in which case that would be fun. Okay, so he's the scrawny minstrel toad who channeled us, blowing in the wind, and blah, blah. Then he turned around, gave us like a Rolling Stone, and then, what'd he do? Surely he must have some insight. He does. There's always been that sardonic sense that real rock is dead, from Johnny Rotten to Kurt Cobain up to today, where it seems everyone is bitching about it. For the record, rock is far from dead, says this guy. Rock is far from dead. But it's never clear where the genesis of this sentiment actually stems from. And like trying to locate the Big Bang, it proves futile until now. So this guy expected another old guy yelling from his porch sentiment on how modern rock is going boring, blah, blah, blah. I'm looking at you, Scorsese, he writes in parentheses. What I got, however, was a heartbreaking revelation of a silent assassination. Listen to this. From its fused inception, rock and roll was already a racially integrated American invention being blasted in teenage bedrooms as early as 1955. But as the civil rights movement was gaining momentum going into 1960, the genre was being commercially segregated on the sly into white, parens, British invasion, and black, soul, music by the, in parens, WASPy, close parens, establishment. Needless to say, says the writer of this, I was floored. Why wasn't that common knowledge? It was quite the bombshell, and one that predates the beloved, no matter how tired, rock pantheon, whose zenith is too often capped at the Beatles and the Rolling Stone, who, it should be noted, however great, are not American bands. It's also important to note that one person or act invented the genre formerly known as rock. It was, generally speaking, wrought from the confluence of American forces, big band, jazz, and country music. So this is what Bob Dylan is saying. And it was early on that rock and roll was dead. You know, a lot, I talked about this a while back because when I was in radio or when I was in the music industry one way or another, someone, well, before I was, I mean, someone who was a person I knew who told me a lot of things when I was younger said, I guess, you know, some, this mentor. Did I say mentor? Mentor. What's a mentor? This mentor, he said to me, he said, you know, they didn't rock and roll when Tutti Frutti came out, Little Richard, of course, who was a, you know, it's still, thank God bless this guy. If there is a God, or bless him anyway. You bless him. I bless him. He is still alive. And I don't know if he even sits down at the piano anymore. But this black guy doing Tutti Frutti and those crazy songs, Good Golly Miss Molly and Long Tall Sally. This black guy was a threat to a lot of people. He took a lot of the gospel music he grew up listening to and playing, learned to play the piano, and then suddenly did that, and that was catching on. Okay, well, what happened? And this is what this guy is talking about. And this guy doesn't understand that this has been written about, talked about, many, many times, and I have done it, so it'd be way before this guy, but he doesn't listen to me, so why would he know it? But Tutti Frutti was given, when they were worried about Richard Penniman, who's Little Richard, when they were worried about him screaming and yelling and singing and girls going crazy out there, and a lot of them were white girls, okay, what they did was they gave the song to, check it out, Pat Boone. Does anyone out there know the name Pat Boone? No one is whiter. No one is more conservative. No one is more that particular. He's alt-right. He's alt-mega-ultra-uber-right. He's like, you know, he is the guy. And he did the song, and the song was a big hit. But the industry, they were very happy that this white guy could have a hit with these songs. You know, these black guys do these songs, and they're hits, and people like them. Well, let's give them to Pat Boone, who was a... and still is, I think. Well, no, Pat Boone's still alive. He must be 90-something. But what I would like to see is Richard Penniman, that is Little Richard, punch Pat Boone in the face. That would be great. This is a pay-per-view would be great. Or have Little Richard play the piano to Pat Boone trying to do Tutti Frutti in at his level, at his speed, and with his guts and his... He couldn't do it. Pat Boone, stand there. Tutti Frutti, old Rudy. Tutti Frutti, old Rudy. And it would be amazing. And then, right, he sings it. He could be completely off. I mean, he'd be off. Timing would be off, everything. And if Little Richard could still play the piano the way he did, banging and screaming, you know. And then they end it. Then Little Richard walks over to Pat Boone and squares him right in the face with a big fist. Boom! That would be great. People would pay. There's a pay-per-view show I think would be terrific. This duet. And the song ended, and then Little Richard letting this 90-whatever-year-old guy punch Pat Boone, who was this 90-year-old guy, in the face. And then, you know what? That would be a punch. That would be a punch. That would be an act that is long overdue. Now, if you don't know those names and you don't know those people, because remember, I'm reading from this guy who writes this, and he's young. He doesn't know this has been talked about and looked at. Dylan knows, he's 74. Let's hear more about what he has to say about it. Okay. Then we'll talk. Well, we can have a lot of those shows, except a lot of those guys are dead. Okay, the article starts out with Dylan discussing the production of his recent album, the fact that his band was made up of old-timer elements like the pedal steel and stand-up bass, and that there were no overdubs or separate tracking, and it all sounds great. But when the conversation moves into his early influences during childhood, he goes off on a tangent about rock and roll. This is, and here you're going to name some of these people that we were talking about in this particular rock history. Here is what Dylan said. There's a quote. And I'm not going to do it with his voice, but it'd be like, nah, nah, nah. I'm just going to read it. Quote, I was still an aspiring rock and roller, the descendant, if you will, of the first generation of guys who played rock and roll, who were thrown down. Buddy Holly, Little Richard, Chuck Berry, Carl Perkins, Gene Vincent, Jerry Lee Lewis. They played this type of music that was black and white, extremely incendiary. Your clothes could catch fire. When I first heard Chuck Berry, I didn't consider that he was black. I thought he was a hillbilly. Little did I know, he was a great poet too. And there must have been some elitist power that had to get rid of all these guys to strike down rock and roll for what it was and what it represented. Not least of all being black a black and white thing. Dylan then said, Dylan was then asked, do you mean it's musical race mixing and that's what made it dangerous? Quote Dylan, racial prejudice has been around a while, so yeah. And that was extremely threatening for the city fathers, I would think. When they finally recognized that it was dangerous, that is, said I, they had to dismantle it, which they did, starting with the Paola scandals. The black element was turned into soul music and the white element was turned into English pop. They separated it. Well, it was a part of my DNA, so it never disappeared from me. I just incorporated into other aspects of what I was doing. I don't know if this answers the question. He laughs. I can't remember the question. Okay. Yeah, well, you know, it's a part of being old there, Mr. Dylan. Maybe you are. I don't know. I don't know how he remembers the lyrics of his words, of his songs. I think he has them in front of him. Okay. So, you see, this is what he's saying is what I was just telling you before. I haven't read the Dylan interview. I'm telling you what I was talking about on this show many years ago. I have had I've met Chuck Berry at one of his lowest moments. When he returned from time he stood in jail, he was in jail, whatever else is, but Chuck is still alive. And of course he was, I don't know why they let Chuck Berry, what they did to Chuck Berry was, you know, they screwed him out of money. And of course, Buddy Holly, these guys were making money and stuff and everything. These are the guys who played rock and roll. It came from all sorts of different, sources. So the Buddy Holly rock and roll in Texas came from Texicana music and other stuff. And then of course the Little Richard stuff and the, you know, came from more gospel because these kids grew up. Jerry Lee, my old friend, the Killer. And he's still out. I think he just finished last year. He just did his last tour ever. He did one last tour. I don't know. I saw him really late. Saw him in a video. I haven't been with him or talked to him since the 80s, but he's really getting on there, you know? But these guys were the originals, and they did it, and they were wild and did it, and they didn't call it rock and roll. You know, if you want to go on to the history of that, you could find that somewhere else. A disc jockey labeled it rock and roll, but it became rock and roll. Later on, they cut out the roll, made it cool. It's just rock, and then it's heavy rock, and it's this rock, and acid rock, whatever. Okay. But this kid wrote this, and I know now this was a kid, a young journalist at least, who wrote this article about the Robert Love Arp interview. The Paola scandals he was talking about. Okay, fine. That's what he was talking about there. What else did Dylan say? I don't know about this. Oh, look, you know what? It's unbelievable. No, it's not unbelievable. It just goes to show you how right I can be and how original I can be when nobody else is saying it. But it says, the trial heated up when the two most influential jockeys in the country took the stand about the Paola thing. Okay. Okay. Blah, 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 blah. And they said what, they mentioned, Alan Freed, he's the man who coined the term rock and roll. Alan Freed embodied the incendiary spirit of the music more than Dick Clark. Let's not talk about Dick Clark. I could do whole stories on that anyway. And I'm going to get into trouble with lots of people. But I don't care. It doesn't matter anymore, as I said. But anyway, let's not talk about me. Let's talk about this. Dick Clark refusing to play the white cover version of black songs. And it specifically says such as Pat Boone's Tutti Frutti. Didn't I tell you about Tutti Frutti? I did. Just before. And years ago on this show when we talked about this. And though these disc jockeys both denied ever taking Paola, it's almost impossible to imagine two young popular disc jockeys not succumbing to a little temptation. Guilty or not, it was Alan Freed who ended up taking the fall for DJs everywhere. Alan Freed lost his career based on taking money to play certain pieces of music. I'm not going to mention Dick Clark. We don't know what would happen, but we're not going to mention that. And we don't know, but he wasn't accused. I mean, he just took the stand, right? Why does the Paola thing even matter? Because it means certain musical acts and groups signed to certain labels were insured to be played. Bad word to use. They were guaranteed to be played. Their records were guaranteed to be played over and over again to every and any teenager in America in earshot of a radio. So if those same labels preferred to sign more white musicians over black musicians, it was a really effective way of keeping those black musicians out of the newly created Pop 40 link. This brings up a small but vital footnote in music history and pop culture history. What mainly disturbed and threatened the city fathers, that is, the people who did not like the black rock and roll things, players, the performers, Dylan mentioned, was the main thing that disturbed them was the unabashed sexuality inherent in rock and roll, no doubt stemming from the sweaty gyrations of jazz. In this respect, rock and roll wasn't much cared for by a lot of prominent highbrow figures, from Frank Sinatra to Martin Luther King. So here's Frank Sinatra, who's a big, Dylan has always been a big fan, and a lot of so-called, you know, artists know about Frank Sinatra. He was certainly not a fan of rock and roll, but he did what he had to do with rock and roll people in the various mediums. But he never recorded anything that was rock and roll oriented. And he did record like Yesterday because he thought, well, my Beatles, but that song Yesterday is wonderful. Okay, fine. Sinatra had his own thoughts on the matter in 1957. Here's what Sinatra said in the Los Angeles Mirror News. My only deep sorrow is the unrelenting insistence of recording and motion picture companies upon purveying the most brutal, ugly, degenerate, vicious form of expression. It has been my displeasure to hear. He's talking about rock and roll. Frank Sinatra called it, you ready? The most brutal, ugly, degenerate, vicious form of expression. It fosters almost totally negative and destructive reactions in young people. It smells phony and false. It is sung, played, and written for the most part by cretinous goons, and it means, and by means of its almost imbecilic reiterations and sly lewd, in fact, dirty lyrics. Anyway, this rancid, smelling aphrodisiac I deplore. That was Frank Sinatra talking about rock and roll in the 50s. Okay, that was a momentary rift between Elvis and Sinatra fans. Okay, but then what happened? What did he call later? Elvis called Sinatra crab apple, blah, 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 based on rock and roll being dead. So this is, you know, what he's saying, Dylan, is that this thing was gone a long time ago. And then it just turned into stuff that was commercially fit. And he's very, very right, I believe. Roger Daltrey coming out and saying rock and roll is dead is certainly not new. Or does it mean anything? Billboard wrote years ago, the blame isn't on the artists. The point is there, these trends were next to profit, racially motivated. The sort of detrimental mindset stemmed from where a lot of detrimental mentalities stem from, the sheltered, repressed living rooms of American suburbs. Recall in the Ritchie Valens biopic La Bamba, I'll tell you about that one day, that specific movie. There's even reference that Donna's father disapproved of Valens. Donna, of course, is the Donna that Ritchie Valens wrote that song, Oh Donna, Oh Donna, very white and rigid. But he wasn't, Ritchie Valens wasn't white, he was a Latina. There's even reference that Donna's father disapproves of Valens simply because he was non-white, asking his daughter if he's Italian, and calling his rock music jungle music. All of this puts a heavier frame around the day the music died, an American tragedy, eerily telling of the music of the time. So there, and we've done that too, and I talked about a number of, you know, we talked about when Buddy Holly died in the plane crash with the big bopper and Ritchie Valens and a number of other people who were the pilot. I mean, I don't know. But, and certainly that was a true spot right then. That was, what was that, 57? I don't even know when that happened, but it was, woo, wow. Gone, gone. Okay, there's more into this article here with the, well, this goes on and on and on. It talks about Mr. Clark, of course, and it doesn't, I mean, it doesn't mention Wolfman Jack anywhere here. Is that amazing? Because that was, wow, what the hell is this? Wow, I'm not going to read this whole thing. This goes on and on. It's very good, though, in the sense that it brings up this particular racial issue, and then goes back to Dylan here and all his pals. Here's a rare picture in here of Lenny Bruce, Bob Dylan, and Allen Ginsberg. Wow. Huh? Yeah. And then, this is what goes on with, the drugs, of course, marijuana, then it goes into this and that and the other thing. But you have to remember that, that's true. Now, the things that people are calling rock when I get mad at me for saying rock is dead and that these guys like Rolling Stones and Beatles or whatever's left, or they should just, stop it. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, if they want to go out and charge $1 million for people to come and see them, they're all these acts. That's fine. Who cares? I didn't care about it when I was dealing with all these acts in the days, in the 80s when they were getting popular again and they're coming back. At least they could work. That's fine. People would come and see them. That's fine. That's okay and well and good. But then they come out with new material and there's, even the people who go to see them live. The people go to see them live. They don't buy these things at the volume that they would buy these things when these guys, when there wasn't a digital music and when there wasn't iTunes and when there wasn't all this stuff that makes it easy, which, destroyed the music industry's money machine, profit machine. And it screwed out a lot of artists, but that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about these old guys. It's like, stop it. I mean, stop. They can do what they want to do. And you could go see them. Your hard-earned money to go watch them, Rolling Stones, even Dylan, who I only went to see once and paid to see once. And I brought my son, and he was 12 or so. He wanted to know. He's learning to play guitar. So I talked him to see. Okay. And then Dylan didn't even play the guitar. Why? Because he has arthritis. He can't even play the guitar anymore. He plays keyboard. So there's that. I also, all right. But, only for my son. I don't go and see, and I won't go and see. And you could comp me, and I won't go and see any of this stuff. I don't need to see this stuff, and I don't care because, if I want records, I want to go back, I'll listen to the records, blah, 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 blah. It's over, my friends. It's over. And this is an unbelievable article. I had no idea this Dylan article goes on for like another 57 pages or something. Q Point, Medium's premium music publication, an ear for the new, a heart for the classics. That's their, and they have all sorts of articles, just like Rolling Stone. But Rolling Stone, as I was going to mention, is, anyway, that's what Dylan said. And of course I agree with him. But as I was saying, the rock and roll that I'm talking about that is dead are the artists who have done and may still be doing out there, they have a base, a fan base and whatever. They're ones, they're doing new material, it's ridiculous. But those rock guys, rock is already dead. They created rock, like I said, glam rock, hard rock, that really disturbing, moody rock. What was that? Oh, that was the biggest joke. Progressive rock. Oh, that, I love that one. Progressive rock. So those genres, I don't know what to call it. That genre, that category of rock and roll music is just a spin-off of its own thing. And it's, progressive rock. It wasn't rock. And it wasn't rock and roll. So the pure form rock and roll itself died a long time ago. What Daltrey is saying, now Daltrey is like, we can go back and listen to your Who songs or whatever, but, you don't understand. I mean, half of your band is dead. And, for one reason or another, not all of it, just age, but like, who, right? But Daltrey, they just, they just, there's not enough care. There's too much apathy. Nobody cares. A lot of the audience is dead. And people aren't buying. Younger people aren't buying that stuff. They may go. Younger people may decide, hey, let's chip in and go see Paul McCartney. It's $200 a seat or whatever. Or let's go see The Who, or let's go up to that desert concert. Spend 2 days, smoke dope and sit around and drink and get drunk, whatever, as an experience, okay? But they're not dying to hear any new music from these people. These people have maxed out. It's over. They've done everything they possibly can. I'm not saying what they did is bad. I'm not saying but it's over. It's done. It's dead. The overdone is dead. And if you want to live only in that realm, in that genre, in that place, don't defend it. Because somebody says it's dead. It's over. Don't defend it. And I know people who do that. And people in my generation, because they're so emotionally attached to the pop culture icons, which would include, of course, the progressive rock, loud rock, glam rock, heavy, whatever it is, whatever subgenre, you know, might be there. They're all so emotionally attached to that stuff, okay, that they don't want to feel like it's worthless. And if it's not worthless to them, that's fine. But they have to admit it's over. And if you love a group called No, Yes, Maybe, or whatever that group might have been, and if they then listen to their stuff, they'll yearn for what they can do at the age of 70 or 60. I guess I would be younger. Those groups, the groups from the 70s and 80s would be younger. Don't yearn for them to do new stuff. Their stuff is there. That's what they put on the table. That's their life's work in that, and that's it. And they, in a sense, weren't rock and roll. They weren't even rock. If they were progressive rock, if they were classic. Now, you take classic rock is the name of what happened in the 60s, and that's the British invasion stuff and everything, that particular pop culture. I love that when I pop or I make a loud sound on the graphic of the, you know the graphics they have, that, I don't even know what they call those, the squiggles and sounds that show you silence or the depth and volume of your voice, that, I don't know, that has a name, you know, that graph that has all that stuff. I love when I go too loud and it goes up, and it goes up, and goes, I guess it clips, I guess that's a clip, I don't know. Called clip. It used to be distortion in the old days. I got more. I have more. Rock and roll is dead from other people. But I think Dylan's, I went to specifically because I think he had his finger on the pulse of that. And it has to do with stuff before I knew, nobody talks to Dylan. I certainly never talked to Dylan about that. I still remember the ugly expression he made in my face, but I'm not talking about me and that. I'm talking about that. I agree with him. He agrees with me. And I've talked about that, especially exemplified by the Pat Boone, Richard Penniman versions of Tutti Frutti. It's all Tutti Frutti, all Roti. That watered down milk toast junk that is, and you know, and there's Frank Sinatra, what he called rock and roll. He didn't like it. Brutal. I don't even want to go back to disgusting, brutal, hideous. I go to a thesaurus and find out what that says. My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show, which has about 37 minutes left to it on this particular Y2K plus 16. I'm slating it in case you're hearing it some other time, but on the 3rd of November. There are 4 Thursdays. We will be on 4 times this month. Hopefully, without breakups or sickness or anything that happens, we will be on here, alive, and we will have 4 fresh shows. When you want to take a show and listen to it other times on your phone or on your whatever device you have, iTab, iPhone, what are they, tabs, phones, desktops, whatever, you can go to juicedtalk.com. Juicedtalk.com. I wonder if Tom Savino is he's not around yet either, no. No, there's he too. There's no more baseball. Tom Savino, Savino Veritas will be back. And as I told you, we're going to be, him and I are going to be talking and playing. Speaking of old things, radio's been dead. Look at radio. You know what? Radio's, anyway, him and I are going to be talking about and playing as they're refurbishing our radio show from portions of and episodes of our radio show from the years, 70s, dead air. And I may even have some copies. Well, it's a long story, but we're going to get into it. He's going to be on this show, and then I'm going to be on his show, which when it's live follows my show. This show. Boy, there was a, ooh, wow, how did we get around that one? This show, that show, my show, his show. His show, my show, that show, this show. It's going to be one big long show. And we're going to make these ridiculous, I say ridiculous, I want to, let me not edit. You know, you're going to have to judge for yourself. I'm not, you know, I'm biased in so many ways. We're going to make these downloadable for free. These relics of radio when radio was king. Well, you know, before there was television, it was radio. But anyway, now radio is completely dead because it's just talk, isn't it? And, oh boy, and it's talk about things. It just doesn't, what am I doing? Trying to define, you know, I lose it once in a while. I literally lose it. It has to, I sink into this void. And what's worse than it, it's an empty void. And in that void of that mixture, that blend, the witch's brew of conscious and subconscious, I float there. Because what happens is I am immersed in emotion, and I don't want to react emotionally about any particular thing I'm talking about in at the time or feeling or saying. I want to deal with that personally inside of myself, as I think we should all do, because even though I feel that Richard Penniman should play the piano, Tutti Frutti, while Pat Boone sang it while they're still alive, and then after it's over, Richard Penniman should punch him in the nose. That's a metaphor in itself anyway, although I would love to see it. So I don't have to hide those things. But every once in a while I'm explaining something, or while I'm on this show, or any show, I suddenly, like all the air comes out of the expression in terms of words, and emphasis and the dynamics of my voice. And I just float in this realm. I don't know how else to express it. I think that's a really good word of emotion that I have for what I really can't explain. It's it's what's called ineffable. There's certain things I try to put to words, because what am I going to do? My mind, put your fingers on the screen or on your, and I will transfer, you know, and then none of this magical, mystical stuff. You know, I can't do that. I have to express it because this is talking and I'm talking and that's all I can do. So as I just did before, and I don't even remember how I peaked and then dipped. I think it had to do with with trying to explain and understand why I feel the way I do about the passing of time. If I have to try to explain it, I can get myself, lift myself out of the muck that is that void where I hover, float and no feet on the ground. And say that, I get to a specific point where I'm going to lift myself out of there now and try to explain it. The connection of everything to everything in my life, all right, is suddenly I see it. You know, I'll tell you what this is like. This is like the person who said, and maybe in literature, what have you, and philosophy. Let's go to philosophy, because that has all to do with talking and thinking and expressing certain things. Nouns, people, places, and things. But, there is, in philosophy, we are, you know, existential. We're here, it's now, it's this, and we're aware. There's this thing, you know, you could become ultra aware. You could become aware of your consciousness, can become aware. Maybe this is, no, I don't know if this is spiritual. It could be also Zen-like, but that has philosophical, tentacles. I was going to say testicles. You see where I'm going here? There is a place where it all comes together. You know, when you meditate, you do away with all this noise. It's all noise. It's noise in your head. And when you're talking about one thing and trying to stay focused or whatever is going on with that particular thing, you exorcise all of the other things that can get in the way, and you don't go down rabbit holes or change a subject or fly off into a tangent. But there's a place in your mind when it all comes together, and it's nothing that can be talked about or expressed. It's pure sensation, feeling. Not sensation as in sensational, although it is sensational, but it all comes together. It makes a kind of sense that you cannot express in words, no matter how literate you may be, no matter how many words you know, no matter how well you can speak, and no matter, because, you know, it doesn't even matter how well anybody could speak, because who's listening? That in itself is one of the sensations. And you fall into this void, and what's worse is an empty void where you can't explain it and it doesn't really need explanation, and then falls into a pit, a space, a universe, it falls into one teardrop, and inside of that teardrop, because I'm trying to do a meta, but it's sad, is everything and all the worthlessness of that. Because when you're talking about any specific subject, you can snap that back into a philosophical thought or a philosophy. Lots of times on this show through the years, and did I say, and see now, I heard this, like through the ears. What's the difference of through the ears, through the, my, there was an old term, as an idiom. Don't you love idioms? Idiom is, and they used to say it to me. If I did not comprehend something, older people would say to me, and it was judgmental, because I lived and grew up in a totally judgmental atmosphere. And that, suppose in a democracy, if that was anywhere else, I'd have been hanged or probably, taken away and put into a mental institution. If, cause you can only fight it so much. Eventually you learn to just ignore it. Okay. But they'd say to me, if I didn't comprehend something, or if I did something that someone told me not to do, again, adults or people older than I was at the time, they would say, in one ear, out the other. In one ear, out the other. So here I am growing up with the, what they're saying is you're stupid. There's no brains in there. It goes in one ear and out the other. It doesn't stop to be processed. It doesn't stop to be understood and obeyed. It goes in one ear and out the other. You're an idiot. Frank, of course, I always use the word stupid, and I've long since, I'm not indicting anyone, and I never indicted anyone. Certainly not my father, who I loved more than ever. now, even though he's gone for years and years and years, and he's gone for more, he's gone longer than I knew him. Isn't that something? See, now I could easily just fall back into that cloud and float there. This is what's going to happen when you get years, more years behind you. And I'm bringing this up because it does have to do with the death of all that pop culture. So when I start off by saying, here's our topic, the death of rock and roll, what does that mean? It wasn't alive. What is rock and roll? Let's identify it. Let's talk about how it ended and then, you know, really look at it again. It's critical thinking. But you could only get so academic. And I don't know about a lot of people who have this particular sense of just total surrender into this void. I know it's like, you know, it starts to sound like, it's, you know, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, all right? And which I've read, and by the way, does make sense in a certain way, but, you know, here I go again. And people said to me, you know, you go on these tangents and they go with me. And I love that. I love paving that road of thought. And I don't mind, I don't mind it, but I don't want to stop the expression where it wants to travel, even if it comes out of one particular topic. I know that, because I say this to people, what are you going to talk about tonight on tonight's show? Especially when I do an old school show like this, where I just talk. Coming on, you know, it's been over an hour and 40 minutes now. And I'm talking, me, Frank Cotullo here on Cotullo Chronicles. I've only done one little spot commercial advertisement for my books. The rest of the time we've been talking about this issue, reading stuff and talking about it. So they ask me, what are you going to talk about? So I give them, I have to come up with something to start a topic, the death of rock and roll, which is, we start with Roger Daltrey saying it, and then, of course, all the stuff about it is going to come out, and we'll have some other people talking about it. Well, I mean, in terms of writing, as we did with Dylan. I'm not even going to go to the other ones. How about that? Or maybe we'll do it some other time, or I'll tell you to just Google the death of rock and roll, and you will find any number of articles opinions from everyone, from Dylan, of course, who dates back there, to that guy from Kiss. Kiss sang songs about rock and roll while their faces were painted and they were these cartoon characters. Big group, right? Yeah, well. This is what you get. This is why you get what you get on Cotullo Chronicles. So there's that. And where did you go from there? Well, I was going to even mention Rolling Stone, you know, the incarnations of Rolling Stone. You see, rock and roll is dead. They're covering, just like that cue point said, right? From a heart for the old and an ear for the new and a heart for the old. But you know, there's the best things you know, we're talking about marketing, and here's Dylan, you know, talking about what he talks about and then being whoever the heck this you know, transient artist, and all this stuff comes through him, and he's singing, his product continues. He continues to do his product, and there's only a certain amount of people who care. No matter what he does, they do it, they go see him, fine. He's got a following until there's nothing anymore, and he was always about playing live anyway, so it doesn't matter about him writing new songs and everything. It doesn't matter. He knows it, but he does it because that's what he does. There's nothing else to do. It's just not going to be the way it used to be. And I'm noticing in Rolling Stone, speaking of Rolling Stone, but now going on another subject having to do with Rolling Stone, and that's this. It says, listen to this. Oh, God, he's amazing when it comes to marketing stuff, that Dylan guy here. Listen to this. A 36 CD box set. Now, as much as I might like little things about Dylan here and there, I'm not one of those people who's just going to go crazy and want to hear every particular version of thing or what. But listen to this, a 36, you heard right, 36 CDs. A box set, yeah, right, like it could be an envelope set. A box set captures every show from Bob Dylan's legendary 1966 Electric Tour. Every show he did in 1966. There were people recording this stuff. Who would, they thought, it's like comic books, you know? You tell somebody, you know, I got number three, got the number three Superman from 1936. They don't, you know what that's worth? And then you come over and they went, let me see it. And it's like, you know, it's ripped, yellowed, it's got stains on it. And they go, well, it's not worth crap. Because the three things that make something preserved valuable, what are the three things? Condition, condition, and condition. So somebody was saying, I'll record this stuff. And you know, in 1966, they had to record it with the big sloppy tapes, analog, like I was telling you, are the tapes that are being digitalized to that Tom Savino. And I mean, that's not the only way we could produce anything. This is, again, a 36, it doesn't say what it's going to cost, 36 CD box set captures every show from Bob Dylan's legendary 1966 Electric Tour. Richard Alderson, the engineer who taped the shows each night, taped them, gives the inside story. He quote from him, Bob with a rock and roll band was more natural than him being Woody Guthrie, he says. This is what Bob Dylan is saying. Bob Dylan packaged himself as a folk singer and found a way into it, but he was originally in a rock band. Rock and roll was his thing. And when he got a chance to create a rock and roll band, everybody who loved him as a folk artist, most people said, boo, they threw things at him. They screamed when he appeared with the band. Because people are uncomfortable with change. But he wanted to do rock and roll. But listen to this. A 36. I wonder what this costs. We'll find out. And when we find out, we'll tell you. Not that we want to advertise it. Tell you to buy it. You do what you want. I'm going to tell you what to buy, what not to buy, what to like and don't like. How about the Rolling Stone has podcasts? You know Rolling Stone has podcasts? I know. Here we go again. I'm not going to go into that. Rolling Stone podcasts. I will always be happy that Paul Williams, the man who started Crawdaddy Magazine, was a big supporter of this show. If you've heard this before, it's okay. You'll hear it again because he's important and he deserves, may he rest in peace. He deserves the mouth, the words, the airtime. But Paul Williams, who came on this show, Crawdaddy Magazine preceded Rolling Stone. For those of you who don't know, he's quick. Here's quick history of and many books out there still available. You could probably get them by Paul Williams, who was the only guy that Bob Dylan ever said, I love the book you wrote about me, blah, blah, blah. Paul Williams was a great supporter of this show and the fact that we were doing this when nobody wanted to have anything to do with it except people who were interested in the internet and blah, blah, blah. Okay? Paul Williams came on this show a number of times. Paul Williams told other people to come on the show and opened the door to what is now, you know, the world of podcasts and radio based on whatever, everybody does it because everybody wants the interweb and wants to be on it, including Rolling Stone. But what is important there too is that Jan Wenner, who became the millionaire of Rolling Stone Maggie, created Rolling Stone, left Crawdaddy. He learned his chops, as they say, with Paul Williams. So, you know, we always go back to, and this is something I always like to do and practice. Practice is do, as in the case, action. And when I tell people, go back to the roots. I hate to use that word. It's the only word I can use. And this is what Dylan was saying about rock and roll. This might, I don't even think that's what Roger Daltrey was saying, because what Roger Daltrey was saying related to him and his rock and roll, whatever that rock and roll that they created from England, which came from spin-off of the rock and roll that those people learned, Beatles, Who's, Animals, all those guys learned from the original Rock and Rollers, that group we mentioned before, which, by the way, did include Johnny Cash. But he went on to, because, you know, he used to tour on those. You know, you've seen the movie. Have you seen the movie Walk the Line? I'm not talking about the mockumentary with John C. Reilly. I'm talking about Walk the Line with Joaquin. His name, I just lost his name. Joaquin Phillips? No. Joaquin, you know, I saw him last night again, too. He was in The Gladiator. So that's Rolling Stone. But here's, and Rolling Stone these days, it always has been a good newspaper, not just for rock, because, you know, Paul Williams and Crawdaddy lifted reviewing into a, you know, a literary form, rock, you know, all this literature that has to do in reviews and everything like that has to do with, is very much like literary criticism is to books. And Paul Williams did that. And then Jan Wenner started Rolling Stone and brought on all the other people who started doing that, including, hiring, you know, Fear and Death in Las Vegas. Fear and, I gotta forget his name. You know, I did though too. It's gone. I have to go back into my subconscious to get the name of Fear and Loathing in Los Angeles. That guy who became a, you know, the rock drug journalist. He created gonzo journalism. See? Not journalism, gonzo journalism. The things that spill out, the things that spin off from the very core of everything. And that's where all this rock and roll came from. But it's dead. It's been dead. It was created. And it's dead. Kudos to those people like Eric Clapton, who in the 60s started to give real attention to the people, his roots. And that was the people like B.B. King, who were still working, but could not, and the black people is what I'm talking about, okay? Those. And kudos to guys like the late Wolfman Jack, my friend, who gave Chuck Berry his first job when nobody wanted him when he got out of prison. But we put him on a show that we wrote, which aired as a pilot, but never got to series. Chuck, I'll tell you that story of Chuck Berry one of these days. Kudos to these people who understood their roots. Kudos. Applause to people who understand that. And that's why everybody should do that. And everybody should understand where their form originated. Because that's important. You'll notice how much is dead. Look, the English novel is dead. You know, I'm a writer. I could do that. Look at how all of the commercial and, well, commerciality has really done a lot to destroy almost all of it. But the rock and roll thing and doing the racial thing, that's really right on the spot. And the fact that we are in America, we are retiring our first African American president in America is an important period. Those 8 years are going to be looked back with incredible history because of the same thing that killed rock and roll. Hell, they tried to kill the presidency. You could even make a case for that. So, you know, I'm just telling you what I do here on Cthulhu Chronicles. I don't even have time to do another huge splash of advertisement, as I would say, from my books. But I will tell you a little bit about it as we move on to the almost end of this show. The book I was reading from before is called Skull and Roses. Lulu.com. Look for Frank Cthulhu. I have a page and there's 3 books there. Buy them. Download them right there. You will enjoy them. And gifts. You know, you could give digital books as gifts. First of all, they're cheaper. And let's face it, you get a really good book for $2.99 and some of the classics that are now free because they're past copyright laws. And I mean, they're past royalty ownership or whatever it is, estate ownership or whatever. You're getting incredible entertainment and education now, even though reading is passive. Certainly writers don't read as much. I don't think they do, you know, but you can get a lot of good stuff very inexpensively for your digital platform, whichever it might be. So don't overlook that. It's good to do it, to get it, to have it. Then you could also go to Amazon.com, where every Tom, Dick, and Harry is on Amazon.com, and you can get the books which recently have been the biggest sellers, Sweet Shepherd, Man of La Mancha, License to Skill, and there's another little thing there you might or might not be interested in. Anyway, the point is $2.99, hello, and Man of La Mancha, if it ever makes enough profits, those profits will go to forculture.com, the website. And you should go there too, not just to read my stuff, but also to see, you could see and hear the new pop culture, the new pop music, the new rock, whatever you want to call it, because you could call it anything you want to, and what people are listening to in their generation. These are the things we hope they understand that they will leave behind as they grow older, and that will be influencing people for the future. You see, there are people now being influenced by things that are happening now, because the people who are being influenced by that are just getting into, just learning to get onto the theater of pop culture. And so even though later on they may look back and go, well, look at here's Robert Johnson singing blues. I didn't even know that, right? But they're being influenced, these people, by the people who are now. See? All of this stuff. I know it almost becomes a bit, does it sometimes become a bit tiring? I always feel like I'm so repetitive over the years, but I have lost and picked up audience from various places. And a lot of the people who listened to me from the beginning don't care to listen anymore. They've gone on to other things. They've gone on to ARP, where they read that. No, you know what I mean? Do you? You know what I mean. Something else they told me a long time ago. So that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying you go to forculture.com. It's a good place to go. Cutting edge of pop culture today. Stay in touch, stay in tune. If you don't like it, you don't like it. That's fine. There'll always be something you, that's what I found. I found that no matter what genre, there's always something I like or could appreciate. As for rap, I think we've talked about that a lot here too. There, you know, about it being, you know, the poetry of the street, the people's thing, the people's music, those people's. And, you know, a lot of people who don't like it. But again, we're right back to where we started. It's black. It's African American, right? So it's the same thing. And the people who don't, just don't, they're not involved in that culture, and they don't have the whole thing about it. That's, you know, that's pretty much the way that goes. So in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, then you can go to blurb.com. I'll get this in before it's over. Blurb.com and get, what do you get over there? Molotov Memoirs and More Molotov Memoirs. Get both of those you get on your digital platform if you want, okay? And, or you could get hard copy. You can get hard copy in all these except your Amazon. Those are only, I repeat, only digital forms. So those are some of the things that you should go out and get. Give as gifts, take yourself, read them, and let me know what you think about that. You know what I'm saying? Don't forget that CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. You can go there and you'll find out where else we're playing and what else is going on. And listen around town, if I pop up anywhere else on a panel or what have you, because life is changing as we go along. This is the way this happens. There will be guests coming up this month and next month as we move on. We'll just find them. We'll let you know. You go to the blog or you go to Frank Cotolo on Facebook, and I will make you, my friend, make you. I will add you as a contact, as a friend, or whatever they want to call them, and you can find out from there. Excuse me. That is my ham sandwich is coming up on me. But I will be leaving you right now and moving on, because life is going... Thank goodness. I thought there was someone behind me. I just had an acid flashback. Okay. Good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you may be located. It's the shadows on the wall. Aristotle's the shadows. We'll see you again soon. And I will leave you now because I have nothing more to say.